Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
Hi there, Doc. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Great. I stepped out from a marketing seminar that I'm at here in San Diego. So, thanks for taking the time to do this interview with me.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, to start out, so you've been practicing in Arkansas for how long now?
Oh, gosh. 14 years.
14 years. Wow, fantastic. And then you've also been doing NRCT how long?
It is going, it's more than 4 years now. I was one of the first 12 doctors to train in that technique.
Interesting. So did Dr. Whitcomb fly out there? Or?
No, at least that was the first formal seminar that he taught. And that was in Florida, so I actually flew out to Florida.
Oh, interesting.
But he taught the class at the time, so.
That makes sense, yeah. Because I took the last one that he did in Nevada.
You did? How long have you been doing it?
About 5 years then.
5 years?
Yeah.
Wow, so you've been doing it a long time.
Quite a long time, yeah. But it's really exciting. It's great, great stuff. So, and then you also have a 2-month-old and a 6-year-old.
I do. I have a little boy that's 6 and a 2-month-old.
How exciting. And it's keeping you very busy, I know.
Yeah, it's interesting practicing with a baby because she's at the office with me, but I'm making it work so far.
There you go.
We'll see how it goes when she gets older.
That makes sense. So, as I mentioned, I'm working on this book about the brain and how to maximize your brain health for a better life. And my publisher wanted to make it really practical. And so I'm speaking to a variety of experts like yourself and Dr. Rob DiMartino and others. I spoke with him before. And so the first question, as a mother, are there things that you are doing that you feel are helping to enhance the brain capabilities of your children?
Absolutely. Something that jumps to mind right away, and it's something so simplistic, is breastfeeding.
Uh-huh.
And I'll breastfeed her for at least a year. But, you know, that's the most perfect food out there. And I was reading a statistic the other day, only 16% of American mothers now breastfeed past 3 months.
Really?
And
only 16%? Wow.
16%. Yeah,
wow.
That blew me away. I couldn't believe it. And, of course, it's very difficult when you have to work and pump. And, you know, it is a big deal. It's by no means easy.
That's correct.
But it absolutely protects the mother as well as your baby. So you have future benefits, like your chances of getting diabetes or heart disease, cancer, go way down. If you breastfeed for at least 2 years.
So this is the mother herself reduces her risks of those, as well as the child?
Yeah, and, you know, I wish I had the name of that study. I just read it in the news this week. So it's a brand new study coming out, and the future benefits for the mother are much more profound than they thought before. And so you don't have to breastfeed one baby for 2 years. They say you have 3 babies, and all together added up the time you breastfed all 3, if it adds up to 2 years, you have that same protection.
Wow, that's fascinating. That's great. So, and as and I'm sure you brought up the issue of diabetes because of its connection with brain health.
Absolutely. You know, as we know, there are now numerous studies pointing to Alzheimer's in a large part relating to insulin resistance of the actual brain. So there's a large connection there. The other thing I'm doing is taking fish oil in bigger doses daily while I was pregnant and right now. And there's another study that lifts the child's IQ by at least 3 points.
Wow. And so is it a particular fraction of the fish oil, you would say, like the EPA or the DHA aspect that is, I mean, I know, I'm trying to remember which one it is. I think it's DHA, which has a very high content in nerve cells.
Yes, all evidence seems to point towards DHA.
All right. So, well, that's really great. And then as far as... what other things, like if a patient's coming in, is slightly shifting gears, and perhaps you are working with children as well in your practice and keeping them healthy. You do that, I assume?
I do.
Uh-huh. And so if someone was coming into the practice and saying, you know, I would like to keep my brain as healthy as possible and preserve my memory and try to avoid Alzheimer's and that kind of thing, what kind of suggestions would you start with, and what kind of treatment regimen and over what period of time might you suggest the person follow this?
Well, the first thing I would tell patients is that brain health is, for the most part, very much in our control, you know, so I believe personally that genetics play a much smaller role there, and personal choice plays a very large role. So there are lots of things that you can do and be proactive. It's like putting money into a savings account so that you have that when you retire one day. You have to put health savings, so to speak, away so that one day when you're older, you have those resources tap into. So first off, you have to protect the brain, which is very important. You have to exercise the brain and your body, and then you have to nourish the brain. So all three of those components, you know, there are many things under it that we can do to ensure our future brain health and neurologic health.
Mm-hmm. So those three things you said, protect the brain, and then what was the second? And then nourish the brain?
Exercise. Your body.
There we go.
And exercise the brain. And then you have to nourish the brain. So under protection, in my office, we do a urine test. It's a simple test that checks for heavy metal toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has been proven that heavy metals absolutely can cross the blood-brain barrier. And heavy metals like aluminum and mercury have been linked to dementia and Alzheimer's.
Absolutely. And aluminum also, I mean, both of those are related to Parkinson's and fibromyalgia too.
Yes. ADHD, autism. So once we've tested and we've detected heavy metal, then, you know, I will put the patients through a heavy metal detoxification. I use the metal-free product from Body Health. It's one of the more expensive products on the market, but I find that it works very well. And even with that product, you're looking up to a year of constant detoxification before you're really going to make a dent.
Wow. And
you have.
And so is that dependent upon how they, where, what level of detoxification capacity they have in the urine, or that would be even if they have a very moderately low versus the severely low?
Yeah, obviously it depends on how well the body, the patient's body can detoxify, so it's case by case. But I find with my most severe fibromyalgia patients that it tends to take a longer time. Something that would point to heavy metal toxicity is candida.
Mm.
And that's actually very dangerous if you have candida to just try to kill the candida. You know, that's a popular thing today. I just want to get rid of candida, the candida detoxification. But candida has been shown to bind up free heavy metals in the body. So it's almost like we have a symbiotic relationship with the candida. And when you kill it off without addressing the heavy metal toxicity, you're flooding the body and the brain, the fatty tissue in the body with heavy metals.
Ah, so the heavy metals go from the intestine back into the bloodstream?
Absolutely.
And that's because they aren't bound. The candida is not holding it within a bound form, and so it's not being carried out through the stool.
Right, correct. So every patient, before you do a candida detoxification, I would suggest that you get tested for heavy metal toxicity. It's very important.
That makes a lot of sense. And then as far as candida, what kind of testing do you do to test for that?
I actually have the patient culture the candida. And Doc, I'm trying to think. I have to credit one of my colleagues for this idea. Let me get back to you with his name.
Sure.
I really want to give him credit. But it's one of my quantum neurology colleagues. And so it's a very simple test. You have the patient wake up in the morning before brushing your teeth and drinking any water. And then you have them spit in a Ziploc baggie with three damp cotton balls and a teaspoon of sugar. And then you just massage that together, throw it in a dark drawer at moderate temperature, nothing too cold. And then literally wait a week and see if you have something that looks like mold on bread growing. And that's going to point to candida toxicity of the body. Also, you can fill out questionnaires that would give you a score. If you constantly crave sugar and you have a hard time controlling that, that usually points to candida infection of the body. Toenail fungus, thinking off the top of my head, lots of skin rashes, allergy.
And so do you ever do like candida stool testing too, or?
I do not.
You don't. Okay, yeah, I know it's a more expensive alternative to testing things.
Yeah, I try to cut down on costs where I can, so where I can simplify the testing, I do. And now these days it's almost a given that most people will have somewhat of a candida problem.
Mm-hmm. And so...
almost universal.
Yeah, is it... So doing the testing with the saliva and the cotton balls and sugar, that's something that actually when it shows up and it looks like that, then it's actually more convincing for the client as well, I would assume.
I'm sorry, Doc. You broke up on that last sentence.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So when you do the cotton ball and the saliva test with them, where they put the bag in the drawer, it seems like that would be a great way to also show the patient themselves that that's actually going on, because there might be some skepticism about the diagnosis in the first place.
Right, and you can track your progress, because if you've done the candida detoxification for, let's say, 2 to 3 months, I have them try to reculture, and when they have a clean culture, you know, to the patient, that is something that they can see.
Exactly.
Seeing is believing.
Exactly. I think that's a really brilliant idea that you have there. So we talked about heavy metal testing, and we talked about candida. And are there, when someone comes in, are there any kind of surveys, symptom surveys or something that you have patients fill out that would give you an idea of the level to which their brain is functioning well or not functioning well, that you can use later on as a follow-up to track how they're doing?
No, I do not use surveys. I actually like facts a lot better. I like results that I can, see and test and track. So I just started incorporating the vital scan in my practice. That measures brain function and specifically the autonomic nervous system function and balance.
Huh. So it's
and
called.
I read that periodically.
So it's called vital scan.
Vital scan.
Is that's something that quantum neurologists typically use? Or?
No, it's a chiropractic tool. Dr. Bob Hoffman talking about it. It's ultimately heart rate variability equipment.
Oh yes.
there's lots of heart rate variability. This one I love because it only takes 3 minutes to measure. So I enjoy doing an adjustment and then measuring the patient again right after. So you can show them what the adjustment just did to their brain function.
Huh. So do you do that before and after all adjustments? Or?
Not all adjustments. Based on the patient, you know, I just sort of feel it out. Sometimes I'm wondering if I'm on the right track. With MRC, as you know, the direction can be very tricky. If you have a patient that's not in a lot of pain, they cannot direct you the way that a patient in very high pain could. And I don't like chasing the pain, so I go back to the test and track my results as far as how the adjustment just affected the autonomic nervous system.
Oh, fascinating. So besides the vital scan, are there any other ways that you use to evaluate the autonomic nervous system?
I do a neurologic exam. I test the cranial nerves very thoroughly. I test brain communication with quantum neurology protocols.
Mm. That makes sense. And so you do that periodically?
Yes, I do periodic follow-ups just to make sure we're on the right track and also to show the patient their progress.
So over the long term, for a typical patient perhaps who isn't exhibiting a fibromyalgia or major cognitive dysfunction, how frequently might you suggest that they come in for chiropractic adjustment or nutritional counseling or NRCT updates? What would you say that a typical individual really should do to help maintain their functioning and optimize it in the long run?
You know, if we're talking about a healthy patient that is coming in to improve their current and future health and to ensure that they're going to age gracefully.
Exactly.
I would suggest that patient goes no more than 2 weeks without an adjustment. And that really is based upon my own experience. You know, I asked myself, how long would I go without a chiropractic adjustment before I start comfortable? And I've noticed through the years, I'm, you know, someone that had my first adjustment at three days old, I can really tell when my body starts going into distress and is out of equilibrium. So I don't ever go more than 2 weeks without a treatment. So I would say about 2 treatments a month.
All right. And so you actually had your first adjustment at 3 days old?
I did. I was very lucky. My dad is a chiropractor. He's been in practice, 43 years now.
Wow.
And
that was in Arkansas?
No, I was born and raised in South Africa.
Oh, all right.
That was in Johannesburg.
Oh, okay. All right. Very interesting. All right. So is there anything else that you think would be helpful for people in general, certain tips that you would have as far as helping to enhance the brain of their health and the health of their brain, sorry, and any other suggestions? We talked about quite a number of things here.
Yes. One thing that I take very seriously and I teach my patients about is concussions.
Yes.
Even a slight concussion. You know, we think of concussions as Mike Tyson or NFL football players.
Yep.
And they certainly suffer a lot of that. But a concussion could be banging your head on the wall,
mm-hmm.
or as you're getting into the car. Light bump, grade one concussion, could have profound effects on future health. So anytime you bump your head, you need to take it seriously. You don't have to have the short-term memory loss or lose conscience. If your neck is stiff afterwards, that's a good sign that your head did quite a bang as well.
Mm.
So after a concussion, it's very important that you triple dose on good quality fish oil. You can take arnica supplement, which is a homeopathic supplement made from a plant. and it helps bruising of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Hydrate very well. You want to sleep a lot, around the clock if you can, for a few days, because that's when the brain regenerates. And stay completely away from electronics. So, you know, leave your iPad, your iPhone, television. You don't want to overstimulate the brain so that it can use all its power towards healing.
Wow. Go ahead.
They have found that if you had 3 concussions in your lifetime, which a lot of us have, your chances of developing Alzheimer's go up 5 times in your life.
Wow.
And a concussion is highly treatable, but you should never ignore it.
So, 3 concussions in your life, that would those are like even grade 1 concussions?
Yes.
Wow. That's a very interesting statistic. So, this has been over 15 minutes. I appreciate your taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak with me. And
you're very welcome.
And so, what I will do is get back to you fairly soon about a quote that I'll want to use in my book. And my publisher also is asking me to mention to people other opportunities that they could have that would be positive, that they could write on the launch of the publication of the book as possibilities. So would that be okay? I'll share that with you.
Sure.
Okay. Very good. And I guess I will not be seeing you in Kansas next week. But
unfortunately not.
But hopefully we'll run into each other again at one of the future seminars. Or, yeah. Well, thank you so much again. I appreciate your help.
Okay, real quick, Doc, if you don't mind me asking, where did you find out about me? Just through NRC or Colette?
Through NRC.
Gotcha.
And you know, I asked Colette about which people in NRC are doing books, or written books, and she mentioned you and how Dr. Rob DiMartino had, you know, worked on a couple chapters. I had interviewed him. I've seen your interviews on TV, and I've listened to some of the webinars that you've done for NRCT, and you were at one of the conferences. It was probably in Florida that I attended also, that you spoke at.
Okay, one of the first ones. Okay, Doc, thank you so much. I don't want to keep you at your conference. It was good chatting with you.
It was very, very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
If you'd like to learn more about how to get an appointment with Dr. Shortian, please call the Redwood Clinic at 510-849-1176. And for information, go to theredwoodclinic.com. Thank you.